This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin the Moscow Mush Milverton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 219. We're back today after two games, our midweek trip to Coventry, where we picked up our second consecutive 1-1 draw on the road and was able to hang on to our unbeaten streak. Then on Saturday, back home against Blackburn Rovers, ripped them apart. Second half was as good as it gets, really. 14 games now undefeated, fifth straight victory at St Mary's and third consecutive clean sheet there also. A 4-0 win, a dozy netting twice in a week, a first of the season for Sekou Mara, a red card and a failed Panenka. Lots to go over this week, including Tim's previews for the rest of the festive schedule. So let's bring him in right away. Tim, how are you doing? Are we all feeling festive?
I am feeling very festive after last night. So I want to give props and shout out to Win or Booze, as in that is my soccer team that I play on every now and then. I love those guys. And we had our holiday party last night, and it got very festive very quickly. And apparently I need to get a really, 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 really cool Christmas sweater, because I don't have any cool Christmas sweaters. And I sent you guys a picture. If you see all the ridiculousness of what Christmas sweaters are, they are fun, hilarious, and also tacky at the same time.
Yes, we have a lot of them over here, and I don't own one. So, and also I have we got a Christmas miracle. We got a little Christmas miracle here, because not only did I attend the game Blackburn on Saturday, but also the Moscow Mush is over visiting, and I got to see him, and I am so pleased to say that he has joined us today unexpectedly. So, Kevin, welcome back. You have been missed. I mean, everyone's been asking for you. They miss your chance. They miss your voice. We just miss you. So, yeah, welcome back.
Oh, yeah, thanks for the kind words. I think I had to come back on before Christmas. Yeah, it wouldn't really be the same, would it?
It would not. It's never the same without you. But are you all set for Christmas anyway?
Not really, no. Be perfectly honest, things aren't too good. Had an unexpected sudden death in the family that really shook us up. My poor uncle sadly passed away suddenly. We've got that to deal with in the run up to Christmas, which is a downer on things.
I was aware of that, obviously, and I didn't mention it to our listeners out of respect for you, but it's not a great time. It's never a good time for that to happen, but this time of year it just makes things so much worse, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Everything's a bit, it's magnifies this time of year.
This is surreal, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But Kev, thanks so much for coming on. It's a pleasure to hear from you again.
Before that, I was busy moving house and all sorts of crap. So I had a lot to deal with at the end of the year.
Yeah, and a little break away from the podcast has helped. So yeah, and Tim's been stepping in and he's been doing a fantastic job. So
has he stepped up to the plate?
He certainly has. Stepped up to the plate.
That is a lie. I will never ever come to what Kevin can provide. So
nobody.
Thanks. I'm genuinely touched, almost literally.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so we'll march on then with these two games. Yeah, another 1-1 draw at Coventry. Similarities with that Watford one, just not doing enough, showing a lack of quality to close out the games. And the only difference is we came back from a goal down thanks to super sub Samuel Adozie. And then the Blackburn, incredible 4-0 victory against 10 men Rovers, but still. That was a bit more like it. Ugly game at Coventry. Brilliant on Saturday. Can we do that every week, please, Tim?
Only if people are willing to fuck up their own lives in the way that Calum Britton did by getting a red card and kicking the ball away. So that'll make things a whole lot easier after he did that. So can we just find some Calum Britton in every team and then we can just have that and it'll be okay?
Yeah, we miss a Ward-Prowse winding up. Will Zaha, don't we, to be able to get under the skin of opponents and get into that position to have against 10 men. But yeah,
we still don't really have that wind up work merchant, do we?
You don't know. I suppose we've got Charlie Alcaraz, who's a bit fiery.
Yeah, but more in a kind of frivolous way than an aggressive way.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So show your support to the show and spread some Christmas cheer by buying us a coffee. You can visit buymeacoffee.com/innumber. And remember, if you want to get in touch anyway, you can go email, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, anything like that. And you can also join our Discord, our Telegram. Just ask. We'll get you in. So got a little bit of news to go over. We're not going to do too much news because we've got so many things to go over in the games and as I said, a lot of previews to go through between now and the end of the year. So we'll hit the news now.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, I want to start by saying our thoughts are with Tom Lockyer, his family, his friends, Luton Town Football Club, all their supporters, and football fans in general, because, you know, how very sad about that situation. You know, we're here all stressed and concerned about Saints, and each week we moan, we celebrate, we go through the emotional mangle, but something like this happens and you have to stop and think for a bit, and, you know, things can change so suddenly, and it puts the game that we all love in perspective, and we're all hoping for a full recovery. Last I heard, he was in a stable condition, and the medical staff apparently were fantastic, and they transferred him to hospital right away. So, yeah, it's very, very sad news what we saw Luton yesterday.
I just hope for the best for him. And, you know, when you have that type of a cardiac arrest episode, twice in what is now, eight or 9 months, and the diagnosis that he has – it's unique and it's very, you know, it's sudden and it's not necessarily something that can cause long-term issues. But if you have that 9 months to, you know, after two episodes, especially because he had that in the EFL Championship playoff game, at Wembley. So I want the best for him, and I want him to go and get every check and everything that he can possibly imagine to make sure that he is happy and healthy this holiday season, because to me that is more important than this game. And I hope that he is able to make sure that he has that happy and healthy life.
And we have seen players come back from this as well, haven't we? I mean, we've seen Christian Eriksen, and he had a full bit of health and he come back and you just won't wonder that you've had two episodes. It's a bit of a worry.
I wish you all the best, Tom. We're all thinking of you.
Yep, certainly are. Moving on, Russell Martin, he's weighed in with his thoughts on the table and the situation of slipping behind the front two. Now, bearing in mind this was all before the Blackburn game when we were scoring freely. So I just want to say that he's had his thoughts on it, and I'll read out what he said. He said, "All we can do is just focus on ourselves and keep growing. I'm really proud of where the team is now. There's been some frustrating results in that run, the Rotherham draw, the Huddersfield draw. Then we've won games late. Any other season, the last seven or eight, we'd be in the top two within one or two points, so we can't impact that. Two teams have made an incredible start. They score more goals than us is the one thing they have over us at the minute. We don't put games to bed. We should score a couple tonight, but we don't. And that's the next step for us." So, yeah, that's what Russell Martin has said about this. But I mean, I think it's clear after that Coventry game that if you are thinking still that we can make automatic promotion, I think it's looking very unlikely now. But he is right in the assessment that we're just not scoring enough goals. Again, this is before the Blackburn game.
My question to you is, if we had a 2 points per game average 22 games into the season, would you take that?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just a freakish start from Ipswich and Leicester. And Ipswich even more so, because they were League One last season and we were Premier League. So it is a freakish start.
We would be tied or right there with Burnley compared to last season. So we can only control ourselves. And, of course, we lost to Leicester and Ipswich. So to me, you know, looking at it, thinking about it, it's terrible, because, you know, we want to do well and we want to be in, and you're competing against Leeds and you're competing against Leicester, and then you're competing against this complete freakish team in Ipswich that, you know, I never even thought that we would, you know, if we had 2 points per game, I think we would have been like, oh, we're first or second at that point, and we're not. And it sucks.
It does. And Kev, you look at Ipswich. I mean, we've said this before, that by Christmas, by this time, they're going to start slipping away because their squad's not big enough. It hasn't got enough quality. But yet, they're still here. They're still winning games. Okay, they drew in the East Anglia Derby on Saturday, but they're still scoring for fun. They're still putting teams away. It's just it has been incredible from them.
Yeah, I mean, they like we did all those years ago, taking that winning mentality from pushing from League One to the Championship to get them to the top of the table and just stay in winning ways. They do have the quality to compete in this league. They've definitely proven that. But I still think, you know, we still haven't seen the thickest and fastest of the fixtures. And it's still a very long season. A lot can happen. And, you know, if we continue this unbeaten run and, you know, actually pick up some decent wins along the way, we'll be breathing down their necks.
Yeah, and I want to say as well, I want to ask you both, if we are playing Ipswich at Portman Road tomorrow, if both teams are playing to their full potential, we beat them, right?
I don't know. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, we can do it at home against Blackburn, but can we do it at the King Power Stadium or Portman Road? I don't know.
They've already had us at St Mary's, haven't they?
Mm.
I think our only chance of promotion now, I just think they're running away, but the gap is still there. I just think our only chance of promotion is through the playoffs, and I don't like our chances in that.
Not at all. Like you said, at all. I mean, it's you know, it's they're in a title race, those two teams, and they're going full pelt along the straight, and you know it's going to be a battle to see who breaks latest. There's going to be injuries along the way. Luck could fall away. Ipswich could still fall off. Leicester could go tits up.
But like Russell Martin said, we've just got to focus on ourselves. If we keep doing our job, just keep winning games, keep scoring goals, then
We definitely know that we've got for this level, we've got a very big squad. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if we get some injuries, and we've had injuries, they haven't really affected the quality of the team that much.
No.
Whereas for Ipswich, it's going to be massive, could be fatal.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah. So we're praying for injuries. Nice. FA Cup then, that third round tie has now been confirmed at home against Walsall. And that game is on Saturday, the 6th of January, and that's a 3 p.m. kickoff. Kev.
Christ.
Yeah.
More Kev, League Two opposition, right?
More League Two opposition and more banana skins, most probably. Kevin and Tim, right, it's coming on to late December now, which means only one thing, the transfer window is upon us. And the burning question is, what, if anything, do we do in January? Undefeated in 14, everything rosy, right? Well, not exactly. I said the only thing that we're not doing is scoring enough goals, which, Saturday was the exception. We're still behind Leicester and Ipswich on that front. And if we could find a way to add more goals and put games to bed, then this would be a perfect end to the season. We heard that this January won't be as busy as it was last January. And there's unlikely to be many signings. So not really any multiple signings, I guess. But there's been some rumours floating around that Everton are unhappy with Mason Holgate's playing time. We could see him depart. With Jack Stevens back, another centre-back is probably unlikely. I guess the window will hinge on who goes, departures. You've got Shea Adams is still up in the air. We were discussing this yesterday, Kevin, and if he were to leave, then surely we need to replace him. We know, this is what they've said, that we are not signing a goalkeeper, a right back, a centre back, or a defensive midfielder. That isn't going to change. So that leaves the attacking midfield, whether it's central or if it's wing or another striker. And there has been some speculation over a return for Danny Ings in the week. What do we make? What do we make of that, guys?
Not going to happen.
Well,
if he wants to come hang out, let's do it, because that guy scored 20 goals in the Premier League with us, and anybody who scores 20 goals in the Premier League with us is a fan of me. So I'm a fan of that guy. So
even after the way that he left, just like, I want to go, I want to be challenging myself and I want to be playing in Europe. Okay, we laughed at the time saying it's Aston Villa and all that he left for, and look at them now. But he's not there, of course. He's at West Ham and he's not getting the playing time. He's not getting the goals. Personally, yes, I think I'd welcome him back, Kevin, if I'm honest.
Really? I mean, I'd take some convincing, to be honest.
I'm sure if he scores in his first game back, then you would be changing your tune.
Yeah, it has to be one in, one out. We don't really play with a striker.
No,
at all. So
maybe that's the problem.
If we're short on goals, maybe it's the system that needs to change a little bit rather than the personnel. Because what we've got options. We've got Adams, who hasn't been getting game time. Mara, who's been playing bit parts. Stewart, who's been injured pretty much the whole time he's been with Saints.
His whole career, yeah.
Yeah, Armstrong, who's been played out of position. Have I forgotten anybody?
No, that's it.
No, I mean, those are our options. I don't think we're really utilising those options. But if Shea goes, which is probably going to be one of the most predictable deals to be done, then I see us signing a replacement. But if for whatever reason he stays, I don't think we'll get anyone in.
Well, he's got 6 months left on his contract. He's still not signed that deal, so I think it's likely that he will be leaving. If it's not in January, it's going to be in the summer. So bringing in somebody now might not be a bad thing. I'd love to hear from anybody that's listening. Would you welcome Danny Ings coming back? Drop a
hostile
line.
Hostile welcome. Yeah.
Probably for a little bit. But, if he can score the goals that he did before, then, I'm sure. I mean, look what happened with Bednarek. He left to go to Villa and under a cloud. He criticised us, he came back, and now everyone's forgot about that.
Yeah, but he went out on loan and
still slagged everyone.
You know, I mean, when you're moving to a club, you've got to pay some platitudes to the club that you're signing for, even if it is on loan. So saying it's a bigger club, well, you know, it, to be perfectly honest, it is. You can't deny it. It's a bigger club.
Yeah, but you don't need to say that, do you? There are other ways around it. So I you know, it's great to be playing in a massive city like Birmingham, and for a massive club like Aston Villa. The way that he compared them to us was the bit that everybody had problems with. There's that just so could have sidestepped it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're a big club, you've got a bigger fan base, bigger city, like you said.
Champions League,
better manager. Yeah, you're playing European football.
No, they've won the Champions League.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, yeah, European Cup, as it was known. But yeah.
We won the FA Cup.
Hey, yeah. Do that. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, if you've got anything to say about the Danny Ings situation, then let us know. And yeah, I'll be interested to hear what everyone has to say about that. Under 21s, then. Last game, Derby on Friday the 15th. We had a 2-1 win at Staplewood. It was an own goal, and Sam Amoyar with our only other goal. The next match is Dinamo Zagreb. Is it Dinamo or Dynamo, Kev? I never know.
It's Dinamo.
Dinamo Zagreb on Wednesday the 2nd of December, and that's the Premier League International Cup, and that's at the Snow Stadium. The women, then, they played in the FA Cup last week. Can you remember who they played against? I can't quite remember who it was.
Some shitty small tin pot club. I can't remember their name.
Yeah, it was them anyway, and we beat them 2-1. So, an own goal and a Gemma Perfield goal dumped the skates out of the cup. So, yeah, always a pleasure. Next match. Well, actually, no, they've just finished today. They made the long trip back in the Championship up to Durham. 12 o'clock kickoff, so it has finished, and they lost 1-0, a 95th minute winner from Durham, which was a dagger. So, yeah, not a very good. A good return, and that's the end of football for the year for the women. Under 18s, they next play Chelsea at Cobham on Tuesday, the 19th of December. Right then, Tim, we go into Coventry, a second 1-1 draw on the road. Samuel Dozy off the bench to level the scores, and another assist for Adam Armstrong. The undefeated streak rolls on. Tim, Leeds lost to Sunderland. We really did miss an opportunity to jump them because, I mean, you know, Leicester and Ipswich carrying on with their freakish form and creating that separation now. Like I said, Tim, this did nothing for my confidence about automatic promotion. Not a great performance against Coventry on Wednesday night.
No, it was very ho-hum. It was very, I don't know, like it was a midweek game that neither team wanted to play. And we had the opportunity to take better chances, and they had a couple here and there. And really, Callum O'Hara did such a fantastic job, and I'm happy that he was able to come back from his recovery. But I wanted him to come back a couple weeks later because he could have easily scored maybe one or two more if he had like 5 or 10 more minutes on the pitch. So to me, I really, really, really. Really, I guess I would say happy that he didn't score too many more goals. But to me, looking at it, it sucked. Like, I mean, it wasn't very entertaining overall.
No, it certainly wasn't. The real elite sides in this division, Kevin, they find a way to win ugly, don't they? And we just don't do that. We didn't do that against Watford and Coventry.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were suggesting that Watford and Coventry were elite sides, but
no.
No, I mean, yeah, with the playing midweek and weekend, week in, week out, yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of energy and decent, smart squad rotation to do it. But, you know, getting a point on the road at those places, especially Watford, it's not that bad.
No, it's not. And when I was like writing this, I was pretty angry. With the performance, because I did it straight after the game. And changes and starters then. We had one change from that Watford game, and Charlie Alcaraz replaced by Will Smallbone. Not a lot of width with the 11 was something that a lot of people commented on. It was only when we brought on Fraser and Adozie that we saw that width, and boy, did that make the difference, Tim.
Really, the only time that I felt we had teeth in the game was when we got Adozie and Fraser. And Fraser seems to be like the perfect person to bring on as a sub, and Adozie, who's like, oh, I'm just going to kick it in gear and, you know, kick some ass this game when, you know, he hasn't, I wouldn't say he hasn't done a lot this season. But between the two of them, it was really cool to be able to see that, you know, the beautiful cross in and then the shot that he had, it was definitely, you know, the jolt that we needed to be able to get going. And these are the games that are midweek away to Coventry that, you like you said, you know, if we're going to want to win the league or we want to get automatic promotion places, we have to win ugly. We are now not losing ugly is basically the best way I can describe it. I think we're going to be in the playoff places now. I feel like it's halfway through and we have that idea. Unless, like you said, like Ipswich just magically falls apart. But to me, we need that depth and we need that charisma to be able to get us going to keep us in those playoff places and potentially even something else better.
Yeah, I just thought it was a flat, boring game, really. And the only difference here is to say we had to come back from a goal down, which is obviously better than letting the points slip. But just not good enough. And I was really up for this. I was really looking forward to this all day. But, you know, once we started, I just wanted to snooze because it was just, yeah. It didn't help that I was coming off of a night shift and I hadn't slept. It was just, it wasn't helping things. But like what Kevin said, like, it's important to remember that Coventry, they have turned a corner and they're a difficult team to play. They held Leeds at Elland Road on Saturday. No visiting side had scored at Coventry since October. So, you know, looking for a fourth win in five games as well. And they'd only lost once at home all season. When we look back at this game in the months to follow, we'll sit back and we'll say, actually, you know, this was a point that we'll take.
You want to take it and run with it. And I think Robbins did a really good job of coaching them up. And I think O'Hare is a great, great, great player. And Haji Wright was able to basically take the Manny mistake and score from it. And it really just, we need to be doing better, but in the grand scheme of it all.
At the time, it's just like, oh, it's a missed opportunity with Leeds losing. But, you know, when you look back at it, it's just going to feel like, yeah, that wasn't a bad point to take because they're winning games at the moment. They're doing quite well. They're pushing themselves up the table. Your danger man that you said about Callum O'Hare, Tim, you scored two goals in his return. He almost gave them a lead, actually, because he hit the bar, didn't he? He did actually get an assist for your compatriot.
And Haji's a little bit better than Ellis Sims, as I was leading on. Haji's going to be just fine in the championship. He'll have, you know, he's got like seven goals. I think he's got seven goals now. He's going to do, and just like Josh Sargent is for Norwich, a really good, decent job, but nothing spectacular. That's definitely how our Americans do overseas, except for Pulisic, who's Captain America, and he's the best, and love the guy. But Haji Wright will be just fine. And Callum O'Hare, I mean, had got the assist, hit the crossbar, like literally everything that he the progressive passing, he is the danger man for them. And him being back, they'll be able to secure not getting relegated, but I'm going to be super curious to see if they're going to be, how well they're going to be able to do, and see if they can get into the playoff places, but they don't have Victor or, and they don't have Gustavo Hammer as well. Those two players last year, and Sakamoto isn't going to be able to pick up the speed for them. Wright's not going to be able to pick up enough of what Victor did. And Ellis Sims seems like a bust at this point.
Samuel Adozie, his third of the season, finishing off nicely from another Adam Armstrong assist. He keeps on piling on those goals and the assist, doesn't he? But yeah, really good finish from Sam Adozie, quite composed and just did what he had to do.
He dropped it, hit it on the volley, like a small volley there. He put it cross goal, and composed is a good way to be able to look at it. And Aribo sitting there saying, let's go, grabs the ball and say, let's go get it back and let's go score, because they think they were able to jolt themselves and get the energy that they needed. And, you know, if they, after Dozie's game, Dozie's goal, we could have probably all turned it off and said, well, that's 1-1, that sucks, and on to the next one.
Well, we did have opportunities to take 3 points after that, and that's what we want to focus on, because, you know, the could have beens, Adam Armstrong was uncharacteristically wasteful. We had a couple of chances close and blazed them over the crossbar, but that's not to say they didn't have their chances either, because I think, was it Ben Sheaf? Yeah, it was, caused a good save from Gav at the end. But I don't know. Yeah, 1-1 probably seemed about fair, didn't it? when you look at it all.
I don't care about it being fair. I want to fucking win. And that's it's Wednesday at Coventry. I don't care if we need to like punch a baby to get this goal and to build a score. We need to win. And we didn't do that.
Whose baby are you punching? Jesus Christ. But yeah, that was 13th unbeaten and not unlucky 13. But yeah, Kev, fantastic support once again. Sold out away end. 3,000 travelling fans in a midweek in December is just fantastic.
Yeah, you love to see. I mean, yeah, the Blackburn support in comparison was, yeah, miserable.
Yes, that was bad, wasn't it?
So midweek just before Christmas, even if it is only to the Midlands, yeah, that's still brilliant, brilliant support. We're a massive club.
Yeah. Yes, always. Yeah. So there, remain fourth, 21 games played, 111, drawn 6, lost 4, and 39 points at that point. 71% of possession. We had 12 shots to their 11. They had 4 on target to our 3. So that's why I say it was a fair result. The XG, 0.8 to their 0.5. So, yeah, I'm going to say it again, Tim. I thought it was a fair result. But, yeah, Russell Martin said, I'm really proud of the performance as I thought we were really good tonight against a well-organised team. The reaction to going 1-0 down was fantastic. The subs had a really good impact. Adozie and Fraser, and I thought they were going to score a second. Those moments need to come more. The last 10 minutes became really open because both teams were trying to win. Neither team was hanging on, but neither team was happy, which is why I loved the game. That was good, I suppose. No one was settling on a draw. So, yeah, that the fact that we, you know, well, you said it, like Aribo wanted to pick the ball up straight away and go back for it, be open and actually, you know, try and win this game. Man of the match, Tim?
Adozie came on and made the biggest difference out of it all. Adam Armstrong kind of had, I wouldn't say a stinker compared to his, you know, to his level. Reba came in and I wouldn't say he solidified his spot, but he's doing a decent job. Smallbone did all right in the midfield. But let's give it to Adozie because he made the biggest difference and really gave us a jolt of energy the second that he came on for the entire time that he was there.
I have exactly the same thought as you. I'm going to give it to Sam Adozie because he just made the difference off the bench and he needed that goal, and it jolted him a bit as well, because again, he scored against Blackburn. But
it's got to be unanimous, hasn't it? We don't normally give man of the match to substitutes because we're looking at the performance throughout the whole match. But yeah, like you said, he did make the difference.
Absolutely. So yeah, a hat trick for Sam Adozie. A hat trick of man of the matches, obviously, but not.
Well, hopefully we'll see a hat trick of goals from him soon.
Yeah, QPR coming up, but yeah. So on to Blackburn then. Did you know the first meeting between Saints and Blackburn in any competition since April 2005? Of course, we got relegated shortly after that, while Blackburn remained in the top tier until 2012 when they got relegated, and then we got promoted. Amazingly missing paths with each other until we've joined them this season. So yeah, remarkable dodging of each other there. It's just our paths have never quite crossed again, but... Well, I thought that was interesting anyway, but obviously not anybody else. But yeah,
it's super interesting. It's almost like it takes a little effort to not be at the same level.
Yeah, for all that
so
time.
It also is saying that, but it's also saying since we were in the Premier League for the last 11 years or so, that they haven't upped their game yet. And we are hoping to get back there so we don't have to play them again next season on a regular basis.
Unless they get promoted as well, which is looking even more unlikely. But yeah.
It's looking very unlikely. But yeah, I think Rotherham didn't, when we played them, that wasn't that the first meeting since the 60s or something ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Another one of those. But yeah.
Yeah.
And Plymouth as well, I believe. Oh, no, we did play them in the Championship, didn't we? Or League One, rather. League One, yeah. But yeah, keeping that run going and slowly closing that gap to Leeds, picking up points on Ipswich also. Brilliant 4-0. Over 10 men, Blackburn. Samuel Adozie grabbing the second of the week right before the half, fourth of the season, and becomes second joint top scorer with Shea Adams and almost 300 minutes less played than him. So, yeah. Blackburn's Callum Britton showing a second yellow 10 minutes into the second half, kicking the ball away.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I can only think that he forgot. I don't know, but... Stuart Armstrong secured the points before Charlie Alcaraz missed a penalty. Sekou Mara bagged his first of the campaign, and then Alcaraz made amends to complete the day. Yeah, three changes then, Kev, from that 1-1 draw at Coventry. Adozie's goal made him a starter for the first time in over 2 months. Flynn Downs back after that illness, and another start for James Bree playing at right back, switching with Kai Walker-Peters. Manning, Charles and Adams all drop out. Happy with the selection?
Yeah, again, at first glance, sort of a little bit lacking in attack, that festive Christmas tree formation, lacking width as well as, lacking an out-and-out striker as well. Yeah, so I wasn't over the moon about it, but still decent quality players. Aribo still in the squad, seems to have started to fix his place in the squad, I suppose.
Yeah, I think Alcaraz missing gives Aribo that little bit of a push that he needs to keep playing.
It's a quandary because they were both quite good.
I don't think he's doing terrible. I don't think Alcaraz has been doing terrible either. So yeah, it is a difficult decision, but we haven't got to make it. But yeah, Tim, are we happy with the selection?
Initially, no. Because I really thought that it was too defensive, or it wasn't, it didn't have enough attack in it. So no Adams, and it seemed like Adam Armstrong is our only nine. We had one winger in Adozie, and Aribo seems more of a central midfield in the entire setup. So besides that, you know, this is a team that we could.
You got Stu.
I mean, Stu is playing like an eight right now in that hybrid midfield. At the moment, he's not in the Christmas tree. He's a part of the three in the Christmas tree. He's probably more attacking one out of Downs or Smallbone out of the group. And he made the biggest difference here in this game. But to me, like, I thought if we had, like, I don't know, Fraser or Alcaraz, it would have been a little bit more appropriate to take it to what is a Blackburn team that needs to get their shit got rocked. So it was fun.
Perfect afternoon, I think. I also got the pleasure of seeing you, Kev. Come up to me and whack me on the back of the head with something. I don't quite know what it was, but woke me up a little bit.
What was my cock?
Anyway, it was the cock, right, okay. but yeah, it was just a dominating performance, the second half in particular. And it wasn't the easiest of first halves to watch. I think we deserve to go into the second half with the lead, but I questioned whether we'd have enough quality on the day to make that breakthrough. But it did come eventually. It took a while. Sam Adozie, 44th minute, right before the break. As I said, second in a week and fourth of the season. A scrappy one, but I guess he won't care about that. Just seemed to be right place, right time. James Bree also on corner duties and picked up his first assist. So, but I mean, the amount of pressure in the corners that we had in that opening half, something had to give, didn't it?
Well, you'd think so. It was getting quite frustrating, to be honest. I was thinking of Joe Tessam and his hatred for backwards, sideways. just needs a little bit of aggression, yeah, and we did lack it. I think the only person who was showing any sort of attacking prowess was Stuart Armstrong. Everyone else seems just to be... I mean, no one was really making runs into the box. It was just a bit of pass it around. But I suppose, you know, that is part of the strategy, isn't it? That we just rope a dope and keep the ball, make them run after us until they get knackered and then just go in for the kill.
Yeah, I did see some long passes, though. Early on, I did see some Adam Armstrong making some darting runs, but whilst the ball was in our defensive area. So I think we were trying that early on, but it didn't quite work. I get your point. Not really a lot of movement into the box, but yeah, it's just that mid block, the low block. Blackburn just seemed to be able to frustrate us. And I did think, you know, if we go in at half time at 0-0, then, you know, this could be 0-0 for the day.
That's exactly what I was thinking. We need something. We need to give them something to think about at half time, and we did exactly that.
And it was, looking back at it, that goal was so crucial, because you know, it could have been a different story. Okay, I get the, you know, the red card helped, but I think we were there anyway. But what was pleasing for everyone was the fact that we had we didn't have that second half collapse, Tim, and we didn't allow Blackburn a path back to recovery. And I know that Blackburn weren't good at all, but we deserve the credit here because we controlled every part. We didn't allow them to even get the ball out of their half. And the pressing was so good early on. And this is the second half, by the way. And is that a coincidence, Tim, that Flynn Downs is back and that midfield controlled the flow? Flynniesta.
I think it's...
Love it.
Flynniesta. Love it. So we got the opportunity here in the U.S. to be able to hear Ian Dark as the announcer for the game. And I enjoyed it. And he was able to talk and provide a few cues and concepts that that I didn't necessarily realize. And Flynn Downs is one of them. And I won't say he gushed about Flynn, but he recognized the talent that Flynn has, and he knew about the differences that he was out for the last 2 weeks. And so to me, somebody who hasn't probably even did his homework, watched all the Southampton games, and that's his job for the last 5, 8, 6, 7 games, he saw that Flynn Downs makes a huge difference. And so to me, and to what you're saying, yeah, I think Flynn Downs made a huge difference, whether or not it necessarily showed up on the scoreboard. But he did get an assist on the day. He took an appropriate yellow.
Not that he knew anything about that assist, but yeah.
Sometimes it's luck. It didn't show up really on the scoreboard, but he made a difference. We were fantastic. They just didn't seem like they wanted to be there too. Like it was just like a men versus boys game, and it was fun. It was fun to watch because we just like completely dominated them, and I didn't have any stress at all over the game whatsoever.
No, this is what I'm saying. This is what we need more of, and the dominance, and the tempo, the possession. It could have been down to the 10 men, of course, but I don't think it was, because I think we were building something before. Blackburn weren't troubling us in the slightest, and then Callum Britton does that crazy moment where he kicks the ball away. You're already on a booking, Kevin. You kick the ball away. I mean, I can only imagine that he just forgot.
Yeah, just a momentary sort of loss of control. The frustration really showing and really getting on their tits by that point. And, just the stupidest red card ever.
I bet you John Dal Thomason ripped into him. Well, I hope he did, because it effectively shut the game down for them, didn't it?
Totally, yeah. They didn't stand a chance after that. And I didn't quite understand why he'd been sent off.
I didn't.
Obviously missed him kicking the ball. I didn't understand what it was for, because I didn't see him. He wasn't involved in any incident or anything. So I thought, what the fuck's going on?
No, here? I didn't. I did. I was hoping for a replay because I thought it was dissent. And then I didn't even see him walk off the pitch. And I got to a point where I was like, is that a mistake? Did he rescind that? Did I miss that as well? Because I had to count the men. I was like, no, they are a man down. Because I was like, they're definitely down to 10 men. But yeah, I completely missed it. I didn't see him kick the ball away. But yeah, Flynn Downs, you say he got the assist, Tim. He will get credited for the assist, but I mean, if he hadn't have got that assist, then probably would have got the penalty.
Absolutely. I mean, it would have been 6-1, half dozen the other. And I guess I'll take the goal from open play than the goal from the penalty kick. So I appreciate him giving up his body
and to Alcaraz.
Yeah, probably. I don't think he would have taken that Benenko and win 1-0, though.
We can chastise him in a few moments here, but it's well deserved. You can't do that shit. And but to me, no, he sailed himself out, and then Armstrong just came in and just knocked it home.
Right place, beautiful. Right time, easy for him. But yeah, it was made because of Downs and Downs making the run. Will Smallbone with that brilliant pass, a great combination from them two. And Stu was just left alone, and it was just like the easiest finish ever. And that's his third of the season now. But the pressure continued after that, and we still didn't sit back on two, which is what we've seen before. Continued to press for a third, which was nice. And Martin used all his subs. Very important this time of year. So THB, Adozie, the Armstrongs and Downs all off. Alcaraz, Fraser, Charles, Mara, and finally the return of Captain Jack. Nice little moment, Kev, when Adam Armstrong, he ran over to him and handed him back his armband. So, that was nice to see. But the subs did make an impact. And Mara and Charlie scoring, of course. But not before that Panenka from Charlie. And if you're going to do that, you have to score. And he made a fucking mess of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be really good at them if you're going to try and take
one. I think you have to be Andrea Pirlo to try that. Otherwise, just don't bother.
Oh, Antonin Panenka.
Well, yeah.
Smash the fucking ball into the back of the net. The concept is not very hard, but just do it. Because you can hit it straight down the middle too, and obviously he's going to dive one way or the other. Just if you smashed it straight at home, like would have been like right at eye level height, it would have been perfect. Instead, you get cute in a game that you're obviously dominating. You just want to go in and get the thing on the scoreboard and just take that. It's not something that you need to go through and be, Argentinian, okay? Just go in and score the fucking goal, all right, Charlie? Don't do that again, ever.
Do a Lambert, just pick a spot and put it there. But yeah, I don't like it. I just do you think it shows disrespect? Because, I mean, if the game had been 0-0, there's no way he's trying that. It's just saying, we're two up. You're a man down, and I can afford to get a little cocky with this.
I mean, yeah, it's pure arrogance. I was kind of hoping that, because Mara won the penalty, that he'd take it himself, because he could do with a boost of confidence as well. But I think Charlie needs the opposite. He needs to be taking himself down a peg a little bit.
Yeah, and we saw the results of that. But yeah, Mara did get the confidence because he did score in the 97th minute. Yes. Subs combining once more. Ryan Fraser to Sekou Mara for his first of the season. Easy, yeah. Bad defending. I think I could have scored that one. But yeah, that's his first of the season, second ever.
In at the back post.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Lovely jubbly. Yeah, I'm pleased for him because he doesn't always get a fair crack, does he? And often brought on in situations where we're chasing a lost cause or we're just riding the game out, like this time was, really. But, I mean, he got at the back post and made himself an easy target for Fraser. So, yeah, lovely, lovely moment for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, those subs came on and it was just because in the first half, I couldn't believe it. I looked at the scoreboard and it was like 25 minutes and I thought it was the 40th. Like that's how time was like really dragging.
Well, even in that chapel stand, jeez.
Still, but they didn't stop all match, which is brilliant. The atmosphere's great, but the football on the pitch wasn't really that exciting at all. But once those subs have been made, I could watch that all night. I wish they could play another 90 minutes like that because we'd have made a 30-0.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Alcaraz, Tim. Got the fourth in the 99th minute. And again, we didn't relent. Piled on the misery, put the foot down still, which is great. This is what Leicester would do, right? And if we're going to be in the conversation for this, this is what we need to do. And yeah, he took the rebound from a small bone shot. And yeah, I loved his little celebration with the little apologies for the penalty miss.
Yes. Yeah, that's classy. Mm.
Yeah, and let's give props where props is due. Did you guys see Walstead? Like, he had a few great saves on the day.
Yeah, it could have been more, couldn't it? The Fraser
shot earlier where he literally is complete and fully extended, that it was just crazy to see. And then obviously the one here where small bone, and then Charlie is just in the right place at the right time to be able to clean it up. And at that point, all the defenders basically said, let's just go home and let's just grab the bus and let's get going. So to me, putting two in injury time after two being only 2-0 up, 4-0 seems like the right result for the end of the game. How it looked.
It really should have been a lot more though. Really being brutal and clinical, and Alcaraz hadn't played silly buggers, we could have really jacked up our goal difference quite nicely. Because look at the teams around us. Our goal difference not brilliant.
I mean that Sunderland game was a massive part of our goal difference being in the negative, but it is starting to creep up, which is pleasing. And these clean sheets are so important. Three in a row at St Mary's as well, which is brilliant. But yeah, biggest win of the season, the best for me, I think. I can include that 4-4 with Norwich. Tim, your danger man, Sammy Schmodics, quiet. Only 29 touches, no tackles, no interceptions, and an XG of 0.1. And a yellow card, too. So welcome back, Flynn Downs.
They did not want to fucking be here for this game. It was hilarious. So the only person who showed up was the keeper. And he did his darndest to be able, well, he did his darndest to not let in four, because he could have let in probably like six or seven, and he made the difference to bring it down to four.
Perfect. Kev, do you have any stats? Do you want to take this?
Yeah. I mean, when the stats came up on the screen at the stadium, did you see that?
I did.
Like, yeah. There was sort of a gasp. Like, yeah.
how many courses?
Yeah. It was ridiculous. I think. When was there? Their first corner. Well, they only had one corner, and that was like
late, wasn't it? Yeah,
78th minute or something ridiculous.
But they did have 100% shot. 100% of their shots were on target.
That's true. Yeah, all four shots on target. But the target being Bazunu, obviously. we had 22 shots, 11 of which were on target.
That's 50%.
Yeah, one of them, the penalty wasn't one of them as well, so
no.
It should have been six, really, shouldn't it? Yeah, what else do we need? Possession, yeah, 73% possession. That was fairly consistent throughout the match as well. Passing accuracy of 93%, just 777 accurate passes out of 840. I'm still waiting for that 1,000.
It's not going to happen. I think I realised that. When you were gone, I was looking at those stats to see how many touches that we had, and I thought, oh, well, wouldn't it be great if we got to 1,000 when Kev wasn't here to report it? But it still didn't happen. But yeah. an XG, 0.7 for them, 3.9 for us. The biggest discrepancy of the season, and yeah, three lovely points. Man of the match, Kevin, you can go first.
I'm going to go with, I don't know who the broadcasters went for, but in the stadium they announced it as Stuart Armstrong. And I thought he was absolutely fantastic. Didn't play out the whole match, but didn't really have to. But yeah, I think he gave absolutely everything. He could have had a hat-trick in that match.
I second that emotion, Kev.
Absolutely superb, yeah.
Armstrong all the way for me. He was the only one that really looked threatening in that first half when it was poor.
Yeah.
And then, he was just everywhere. I just thought he was explosive, and that's his best for us, I think, when he's playing like that. Tim, do you make it three?
Yeah, it's Stu. I mean, for the entire first half, like, he looked like he was the man, and he was just everything revolved and centered around him, and he was the guy creating things, and it just made sense for the game. And then it obviously overall, even though, you know, Adozie had a goal, Alcaraz had his goal, Mara had his goal, it just collectively, it was a great team effort, but Armstrong really made the biggest difference today.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Russell Martin said it was a really good performance, even against 11. Blackburn are a really good team when I watch them. To turn it into the game was down to the lads. We hunted the ball back relentlessly. We didn't let them get into a flow. The lads were relentless, and we should have scored more earlier than we did. But I am pleased for the players as they got what their mentality deserved. It was because of our intensity of our team that I'm really proud of them, and I don't take that for granted. We're going to have to be patient at times. We didn't look bored or impatient, and we attacked when it was right, moving the ball quickly. Please, can this continue? And that this is what we're capable of, and this is what we need to do more of. And let's see if we can force Ipswich and Leicester to wobble just a little bit. Right then, we go into the previews. Then we've got a lot of previews due to that Christmas Day. Well, what day Christmas Day is, we won't be recording now until after Christmas, which means we have three games until then. So we've got QPR away on the 23rd, Swansea at home on the 26th, and Plymouth at home on the 29th. So, Tim, yeah, you've been a very, very busy man researching our next three opponents. And if we can play like that we did against Blackburn, then watch out QPR, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll do a little abbreviated here since we have three coming up here. We've got not only QPR, we've got Swansea, and we've got Plymouth. But QPR is our first repeat offender. It's the first repeat game of the season coming up here. It's halfway. We're almost officially halfway through. Is it exciting for you guys? Does it seem like it's been halfway?
I think it was slow at the start, but now obviously with these December fixtures coming thick and fast, it's kind of like, yeah, I think we're in. I mean, if someone would have said to me we'd be up third, fourth, I would have taken it. I'm happy with the way that things are going.
They'd have said you'd be behind Ipswich in the league, then.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
but if you said at the beginning you'd have 2 points per game at on average going into the 22nd game, would you have taken that?
Yeah, absolutely, all day long.
And that is where we're currently at right now, despite being in fourth place. So
I still have the right to be angry when we don't win.
Oh fuck yeah! Of course you can. You can do whatever. It just makes sense. because with QPR, the uniqueness of this is. We beat them 2-1 earlier at home this season, and they have a different manager. So they fired Ainsworth and they hired Cifuentes, and he looks pretty darn good compared to what Ainsworth has. So earlier in the season on September 16th, we beat them in what was really an ugly game, where I think I said more stuff about Ainsworth's hair than I actually did about the game.
And his boots, I remember, his snakeskin boots.
Oh, yeah, greasy-ass hair. Like, I could smell it here all the way in Chicago compared to, you know, from Southampton. He just looked like he just smelled like marble cigarettes and cheap leather.
Why they sacked him, Tim. They just got enough. They had enough of the smell.
Yeah, really. You know, they fired him for cause for being, for not being cleanly, hygiene. So makes sense. They're still 22nd, unfortunately, for them. But their form is much better recently, even though despite losing to Wednesday 2-1 in this past game yesterday, they drew Plymouth 0-0. They beat Hull City 2-0. They beat Preston 2-0. And they beat Stoke City 4-2. So in the last five games, they've, three wins, a draw, and a loss. And so that form is going to take them out of the relegation spots where they're sinking in currently.
Oh, they lost that Wednesday game at the death as well, didn't they? They were 1-0 up in that game as well.
So. Danny Roll is just coming in, and he's making a difference there. So it's good for that. It's good. It's good. But to me, it's a change of pace, and I don't like it because they're going to be better than what we were playing them against earlier. So.
And we're going away as well.
That is correct. Loftus Road should be are you hopeful? It looks like it's a pretty ground. Been able to be outside of it, never been in it, but it's another one of those like quintessential English stadiums built right into the town or the neighborhood and
White City.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll go on to predictions then. Actually, Kevin, you're first up this time. So what have you got for QPR?
3-1. We're gonna smash them.
Ooh, I like the confidence. Tim, you're up.
I'm going with 1-0.
So. What, QPR?
No, we are going to win this game 1-0. Man. We're going to have another. We're going to struggle, and we're going to have like 14 shots, and we'll have 80% possession, and it'll be like a scrape off of a random, it'll be a scrape off of like a random shot that we'll get a lucky deflection and we'll win 1-0.
I'm going 2-0. Another clean sheet. Comfortable. And then, of course, we go to Boxing Day at home against Swansea. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff at St. Mary's. Swansea, Tim, this is the last team that we play this season.
Yeah, those damn Welsh. the Swans. The Russell Martin Derby, the Ryan Manning Derby. Could we call it a fierce rivalry? Because, since we relegated them with the Gabbiadini goal, and you guys remembered like the whole Marriott scheme where they like canceled. They canceled on us, and that was fun. Now it's fun thinking about it. But
I will say though, he did leave under a bit of a cloud, and Swansea fans have got their back up when he left and all that. Then they started slagging him off, saying the football's boring, we don't care. But I think what we did to Cardiff a couple of weeks ago when he shushed the crowd and put his hand up for saying four in a row, that must have got some Swansea fans back on his side, surely.
Well, I think they hate him less.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah, yeah.
So it's like how bad did you stub your toe? Did you stub your toe bad or did you stub your toe really bad? Because they just stubbed his toe. It's now it went from really bad to bad. And yeah, so taking a look at that, yeah, this is the last team that we haven't played yet. And I was excited to. And well, we're going to be at home for this game. And but they're currently sitting in 18th and they're really ho-hum. And I honestly, they don't really have many people or many things going on for them. They sold Perot.
We stole them all.
Yeah, Manning left and Russell Martin left. Yeah.
Didn't take Grimes.
So to me, taking a look at it, like they don't have a whole lot. So they'll still play Preston, but besides that, the previous five, they've lost to Middlesbrough 2-1. They drew Stoke 1-1. They beat Rotherham 2-1, and they drew Huddersfield 1-1. They're gonna scrape and get by this season. And there's nothing, you know. Martin elevated them to eighth place last year. And they're currently 18th, and yes, they're less in terms of quality, but Martin did a number and will be able to provide quality for them. So it's to me, yeah, we did steal their manager, so be it. They can write home about that, but it'll be a good game. It'll be a good game, but I still think we're gonna do very well.
Predictions? Your first, Tim.
I am gonna go with a 3-1 win.
I am going for another clean sheet and another 2-0 win. Another comfortable 2-0 win. Kevin.
I don't know why, but I've got a bad feeling about this match. I reckon it's
too much
potential
Christmas
banana skin territory. Yeah. I'm gonna predict a 1-1 draw. Which is disappointing, so I'd love to see a smash them. Definitely prove me wrong, because one of the things that annoys me about Swansea is that they had a decent logo and they changed it to one that looks like it's been designed by a 3-year-old. So yeah, just for that, I hope we absolutely destroy them.
Well, I'm confused about their logo, because if you look at what it is officially, it's that one with the circle with a bit of blue in the background. But yeah, on their kits, they've gone back to that old style with just the black swan. So,
Swan, yeah.
Just, I don't mind it. I think it's all right.
Needs to get in the bin.
Okay. 1-1 it is then. And then on Friday the 29th, another game at St Mary's, a 6 o'clock kickoff on a Friday. We got Plymouth Argyle at home. No, but St Mary's, sorry. Yeah, Tim, Plymouth.
So we play them at home and at home, don't we?
We've already played them away, haven't we? We went to Home Park at the start of the season. Now we're at St Mary's. It's weird. I've got venue down as St Mary's and I've got it as away. So I fucked up. Let it go.
So we beat them down in Plymouth 2-1 in August, and they'll still have in the winter the holiday season, they've got to play Cardiff and they've got to play Birmingham, so two teams that are beatable. And then besides that, they beat Rotherham 3-2, they drew QPR 0-0, and then lost to Leicester 4-0 like everybody else. But I want to give props to where props is due. They've just been promoted, and they're really putting up a good fight, and they deserve to be in the championship this season. Morgan Whitaker is looking fantastic. He's going to be closing in that 15 to 20 goal range. Mumba is doing a great job in that left wing back position, where he's able to basically just give free rein and be able to make it work. And they have done a very, very, very good job of what I think a team should do coming up from League One into the Championship, is play well, be successful, be a team effort, and then not be fucking Ipswich and then make all, you know, and just be completely all the way at the top and, you know, not allow us to be to get promoted.
Of course, they won the league, didn't they? They won League One.
They did League One, and that is something. And it's a fun away day, apparently. I would like to go down to to Cornwall in that area and check it out. Devon, thank you. Cornwall is a little farther. But
yeah.
It's just right on the border, isn't it?
Yeah, I went there a couple of years ago. It's good. Nice stadium. Very nice stadium. I like it.
Doing really well for them, and I'm happy to see that they are successful. Sitting in 16th at the moment, you know, only minus one in goal difference and 26 points. So, you know, the equivalent would have put them at 18th. And if you said that Plymouth would finish 18th this season, I would have said that sounds about right. And to me, I like it. I like them. It's like a team that I don't want to hate. Like, I actually want to like enjoy and, you know, talk and hang out with the Pilgrims.
You're not treating this as a South Coast derby then?
No, this is not a South Coast derby.
Predictions. I'm up first this time, and I am going for a comprehensive 3-0 win. So that means I've predicted a 2-0, a 2-0, and a 3-0. So 9 points, 7 goals, and none conceded. That is going to be Merry Christmas.
Well, I'm going to have to predict a win again. That unbeaten run's got to continue. Amazingly, we could, on this unbeaten run that we're on, if we'd have won every single one of the matches in that run, we'd still only be level with them on points, which is mental. So, we've really, really got to do it. 2-0. 2-0. Let's do it.
Clean sheet. 2-0. Like it. Timothy.
So, I predicted 2 wins. You have to slip up here and there. And unfortunately, I think Plymouth is going to come in and be very, very lucky. And we'll take a 1-1 draw.
I don't want that.
But yeah. we'll still be undefeated through the Christmas games. So according to all of our picks.
Which of course that means we're going to get beaten all three of them now because we've jinxed it. But yeah, okay then. So on to those discords then, those predictions from the week. The Coventry game, 3 people going with 1-1. We had New Jersey Scott, Kevin McGee, and me. Yeah, that rhymes. Tim, you've got a draw, correct? So points to you. And the Blackburn game, nearly everyone going for a Saints win. No one going for a 4-0, obviously. But Greg Kaplan went 4-1. So close enough. What does that mean to the table then? Wow, it's a very, very good week for me. I'm on the charge and I'm just 1 point off the leaders now. It's Kurt Supple and Coastal Elite. Kurt actually missed putting his prediction in for the Coventry game and he's still top of the league. So unlucky, but yeah, still hanging on. So get your predictions in for the QPR game as quick as you can on that Discord. Super 6, then round 23 was won by Gavin Burgess with 7 points. Round 24, Paul Beasley, 21 points. That's incredible. And round 25 is still ongoing. And overall, Andrew Knight running away with it still on 225 points. Fantasy football, Kev.
Wow. Yeah, I've actually not been paying any attention at all to my fantasy teams. So I imagine they've slipped quite considerably. Yeah, I'm...
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I haven't either. So.
Yeah, okay. Tim's overtaken me for fifth out of the Potters. Harry Tizard, top of that. In the big league, 66th. Yeah, I've only got 13 points so far this week. A few injuries in there. Yeah, I'll maybe take a look at that in a minute. Where are you guys in the big league? Sound like Joe Tesson. Just a little bit above us.
In the big league, I'm 87th, and oddly enough, I've moved up with my 24 points this week.
T-Bizzle?
37 on the week so far. Odoji got me 5, but he's suspended for next week. I brought in Ward-Prowse, and I don't think I'm going to regret that. So my team's looking all right. It could be a lot better. It could be a lot worse. And yeah, I'm already out of the FA Cup, unfortunately. The cup game that they have here on. The Premier League sets up.
Top of that big league is Dan Buck. Still, I believe Chris Bonner in second and Brad S in third.
And Gaffer?
No changes in the table at all. So once again, I'm still up top. Unfortunately, only got 40 points, but we've got two games. We've got one game remaining to play. So everybody who's got the Leicester on their team, they're still going to acquire a few more points there. So I'm first. Tim Brucker, sitting on 41 points for the week. He's got Mabidi, M-A-V-I-D-I-D-I. I think it's Stefan Mabidi.
Mabidi, yeah. I've got Mabidi, I think.
Okay. and then Dewsbury Hall as well to be able to come up and play. So if anybody's got Mabidi and Dewsbury Hall, so you'll still be able to have that. And also Vestergaard too as well, who is a low money play, but also continually starting and
he
doing
scored
very
last
well.
Week, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and he helped my team out. So I am taking it away from Tim Brucker. I have separated myself now. I am 27 points ahead. And this is my friendly reminder, if you've been listening, take a look at your power-ups because there's some good opportunities over the Christmas period that you can use to get yourself into the next level.
Something I need to do. Yeah, okay, so that is it. Another one down. Next time we're recording, we'll have a lot of games to catch up on over that festive period. And we'll have the two games to preview. We've got Norwich City on New Year's Day at Carrow Road, and then, of course, that FA Cup tie at home to Warsaw. So, yes, we've got Captain Jack. He's back. And our captain, Kevin, is back also. So, brilliant stuff.
You're the captain. I'm the vice.
Well, okay, we got our vice back. But yeah, nothing left to say except Merry Christmas to you and your families. Let's hope Santa brings us those 9 points before the year's out. So until next time, Merry Christmas and up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.